You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
I am the table! I am the table! I am the table! I am the table!
Okay, guys, welcome to what is technically now the first episode of Talk at the Table. I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Conrad Newton.
Hello, Matt and Mags. This is an exciting time.
And as Conrad spoiled a little bit there, but never mind, we'll go with it. My other co-host, Mags. Welcome back, buddy.
Yeah, I'm excited for this debut of a new podcast here, Matt. This debut. It's really a new topic that we've never, ever spoke about ever before. Yeah, I'm excited to kick off this new show.
Okay, for the benefit of the tape, as it were, I need to address this before Mag continues to bury me. We have done one of these before, and up until about 5 minutes ago, I thought I'd lost all the footage for it, and then I realised I could re-download it from Skype. So I will be taking care of that. I lost episode, probably for one of the Christmas crackers later in the year. So that was out-of-date stuff. This is present stuff, and this will be coming out, well, a few days from now. So, basically, because it's the first time you guys are going to listen to this, I will quickly run through what Talk at the Table is about. We bring forward topic or topics, and we basically have a rant about it. It worked quite well in what turned out to be a dummy run. So, it turned out
practice.
It turned out to be a dummy run in the end, but it worked out really well, and we enjoyed what we did. So, I think Mags went first on the dummy run, so Conrad can go first this time. Conrad, talk about him.
Okay, so with this kind of being like a second, this being like the official start of the show, it was a bit difficult to come up with the topics as my brain's just been a bit dead these last few days. And I thought, as much as we don't really want to talk about it, I thought it was an issue that talent was still running shows, even in like empty arenas. Obviously, No Fans Monday last week was really good, but I think I read somewhere that there was a No Fans show at the weekend, and one of the talent that wrestled on that show has shown symptoms for the virus. I was thinking, like, is it worth the talent, even though they're still getting paid, they have to make a living, is it worth them risking themselves, their safety in the long run, to entertain us just for the time being and try and get what little work they can?
My topic was going to be kind of the same. I do agree with you. I think that it should be a case of that it all shuts down. We've just had the UK lockdown. Obviously, we've got bumbling Boris as a leader, and he's kind of just copying everything that bumbling Donald does. And so we're kind of in that status now where we're getting locked down. And I think that it's unfair of us as fans to kind of want these guys to put themselves at risk just for our entertainment. So, yeah, I totally agree with you that maybe it's time to knock events on the head. I watched the Wrestle Talk show and I thought it was absolutely amazing. It was so good that they raised that much money for the wrestlers. And I was looking forward to a show this weekend from Synergy. They were doing a No Fans show, but that's been cancelled because New Jersey have kind of upped the status level, so they can't have more than three people in close proximity. So that show has gone under, and as heartbreaking as it is to not be able to watch that show, I would rather miss out on that show and the guys stay healthy. But for me, the flip side is that if there's no wrestling for them to do, there's no way that they can get paid. And that's kind of the double-edged sword. These guys are risking their health because it's the way they pay the bills. That for me is the sad thing of this virus. It's robbing people of their livelihoods.
It is. We're quite lucky. I say lucky. We're quite lucky to have had the shows we've had already so far. AEW Dynamite, of course, which I watched last week and was slightly entertained by, I've got to admit. Raw and SmackDown have been running. Whether or not people agree with them running is obviously people have got their opinion one way or another. I've been entertained by what I've seen. I want everyone to be safe. I've said this on many occasions, that all I care about is people being safe and healthy. Most people seem to have, wrestling-wise, from what I can tell, is most people have been self-isolating and not catching, which is better than not, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But how do you know if I was at the right time? That's the question for that one. But that's a question that we're not asking here. Is it time to knock the shows on the head? I want to watch them. That's the problem. I want to see them. And
especially with the fact that people are isolating and you want entertainment, being wrestling fans, we want to watch more wrestling. And if it's not there to watch, yeah, it kind of can make you go a little bit stir-crazy.
It can. I mean, the beautiful thing is that thanks to the various networks, we've got PowerSlam, we've got IWTV, we've got WWE Network, and the New Japan World.
Get them plugs in.
We've got all of those different network things. You could Google backup for H3. PowerSlam. I couldn't resist.
Cord Badlands or Cord Mags as well.
Feel free, Mags. Go ahead. Fair enough. But the fact is that there's so much out there we can go back and watch. So if we want to watch more wrestling, we can go back and watch stuff. Because there's the amount of wrestling between the three of us we have seen, and there's still stuff that we haven't seen.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So if we wanted to, we could go and do that. I want people to be safe. And if, with WrestleMania, for example, literally at time of release a week away, being held over two nights, some pre-tape from what I gather, I don't have a problem with that as long as it's all being done safely. That is the priority, and I think even Vince is, if he's told to stop, I think, well, he'll have no choice, obviously. If he's told to stop, then he'll stop. I mean, I was quite lucky to watch EWA Quarantine on Facebook Watch. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see it, you two, on Twitch and Facebook Watch. It was great to watch. I watched it with the MGB guys, actually, at the same time. And this week just gone, I actually interviewed a guy in question. It was a brilliant interview I had with him. He was brilliant. And if not me in a bum on a trumpet, but it was the best interview I've ever done. It was just so awesome to speak to someone who's in the middle of it all. I think am I right in AEW have got some indies actually wrestling on their show.
Yeah,
an
indie ref as well.
So you know that's great, but again, as long as it's all been done safely, I haven't got a problem with it. So that definitely answered Conrad's question, I suppose, on that one. But if it's safe, well, actually it does. If it's safe, it's fine. But I don't know. I don't know. It's a weird thing where I don't have an answer. And as Chris likes to tell me, you've got to answer everything you have, Matt. Not this time.
Yeah, it's hard as wrestling fans to kind of say what is the right answer. We want the content to watch, obviously, but we also want to see these wrestlers stay healthy. So, yeah, it's kind of a hard situation to be in.
Right, so, Mags, you said that your subject was just quite similar. Did you want to elaborate on it?
I've got two, actually, really. And they both... It's hard to stay away from coronavirus. It's the biggest heel, and I know it can be upsetting to talk about, but mine are one of them is kind of lighthearted, I suppose, but the other one is we've seen, as Conrad mentioned now, with these no fan shows, we've seen kind of the great side of wrestling, where people have been innovative and they've wanted to put the fans first, and we've got promoters who are not making a penny from it and giving all the money to the talent, which is amazing. But there's been at least one promoter, and I don't want to say the names or the companies that they work for, because I don't think they deserve the kind of press or the notoriety that they're trying to get, who have come out and said that talent need to lower the prices because there's less places for them to work, and there's more wrestlers out there who will wrestle for peanuts. And I thought that is a disgusting way of kind of profiting off coronavirus. We in Britain have seen a lot of people hoarding toilet rolls and beans and pasta, and it's that kind of stuff. When we're all in the same situation, and you see this kind of selfishness of people come out, and it really, really winds me up. But then on the flip side of that, you see some amazing people come, and the cream really does rise to the top. Like I mentioned, Synergy were doing their show, which unfortunately has to be postponed. But that was literally going to be all for the talent, and like the WrestleTalk guys we mentioned, they raised nearly £10,000 to pay for the wrestlers, and you've seen that. Fans come out and say support your wrestlers, come out and buy wrestling merch and stuff like that. And that it's kind of like I have a long, long memory, and I will avoid the people who kind of were selfish and thought about themselves like the plague, and I will happily support the people who stood up to be counted when not only wrestling was in need, but the world was in need. So yeah, that was the first kind of thing that's really been grinding me this week. So how do you guys feel about that?
I'll let Conrad go first, because I made my point of view very clear on Good Cop, Bad Cop about the same point, actually. Mm-hmm. So.
I think it's just atrocious to see the fact that like the promoters out there, and they're deliberately like, I don't understand if it was in like a different climate where like wrestling was truly thriving and they were making like loads of merch money and stuff and people could afford to buy, like wrestlers could afford to like lower their rates a little bit. Then like, but then it gets to a certain point like where the promoters can say, but then in this time where work is going to be few and far between, like, and like it's even like when before this all broke out and there were promoters asking workers, like established workers, to work for free for like the exposure and stuff, and it's like, well, that's exploitation to start off with, and exposure doesn't pay your bills at the end of the day. And I think it's a really good thing, and it really does show the community spirit that we've all got. I know OTT, when they cancelled their shows, and all the fans that bought tickets said, you can keep my money, or when I get the refund, I'm going to buy a t-shirt to support the independents. As much slack as Will Ospreay gets, and he did some absolute, it was him and obviously Max, as you said, him and the WrestleSort guys, and they did an absolutely amazing thing for this community when we needed it the most, I'd say. So I think, and Rusev as well today, I think he said he was going to donate two million, I think it was that I read. He said he was going to donate. He said it's not much, but he'll do what he can to help people out.
Yeah.
Which I think is really nice to see.
It's still a lot of money, no matter how far it's spread between. It's a lot of money still, and it's a gesture trying to give back, and that's what people right now care about, is giving back. To elaborate what I said on Good Cop Bad Cop last week, the guy in question, I'm not going to mention him, like Meg said, he can go to hell.
Yeah, it was such a scummy thing to do.
When this blows over, mate, you ain't going to have no one come and work for you. This is the sort of thing which can kill promotions, notably one in North Virginia. I can remember when they had a bit of a scandal happen there. It killed that promotion. And now the promotion that was thriving, you saw Jordan Grace at places like that, Orange Cassidy, Logan Lee's in the row. You saw amazing people go through that promotion. And a scandal killed it, basically. And right now, when the world is crying out for everyone just to love each other, be kind. That's all you've got to do, is be kind to each other. And then this happens. Which leads me to my subject, unfortunately. Now, this something that went up on Instagram. Now, I'm pretty sure, seeing as how Conrad is the more Instagram savvy of the team.
I don't have an Instagram, so he's definitely more savvy than me.
Exactly. I'm sure he would have seen this. A Instagram post now deleted by a certain gentleman called Adam Scher.
I've seen the post.
Now, these posts, for people out there living on a rock, is Adam Scher is the real life name of former Intercontinental and Raw Tag Team Champion Braun Strowman. Now, seeing as how this is common knowledge to everybody, and I don't think I'm getting done for libel here, because this is common knowledge. He wrote, "Here we go with more of the somebody pay for my bill stuff. If you can't afford to pay your bills, change professions. That's why I quit Strongman. I loved it, but I couldn't afford to live. So somebody could GoFundMe or a Patreon wanting someone else to take care of me. I went out and worked harder than I ever have in my life to go where I am. What happened to being accountable for your own actions?" Wow.
Mm.
Wow. All of that hard work he'd done, getting himself to the place where people loved him. Bang. Mm. Ever found a way to become more hated? Someone who's on the front line at the moment, as it were, but I'm not a nurse, but you know, I'm a critical worker, putting lots of hours. Account of your own actions. No one saw this coming. No one saw this coming. Okay, people are being told to stay at home. Okay, Braun, be lucky you're actually working for the biggest wrestling company in the world, and you're being paid to sit in your fucking ass at home. Okay, some people haven't got that luxury. Okay, in your industry especially. Mags wants to come in here, so go on.
No, I'm happy to come in. For me, it's becoming too common an occurrence with WWE talent. They just do not know how to use social media properly. We've had this, obviously, with Braun, and from what I've read, it's kind of like backtracked on a lot of his comments when he's been like given grief for what he said, and he's kind of like took it a lot of it back and apologized. But it's the fact that WWE stars are just not social media savvy enough to basically know that their words of actions. We all know the Seth Rollins incidents where he was slating Will Ospreay a lot.
They think invincible.
Yeah, and for a company of that size, you would think they would have social media managers in place. It's just a horrible way to look at your fellow workers and to put everyone down. Yeah, like Matt said, no one knew this were coming. Well, apart from Trump, who knew about it apparently in January and kind of hid it. But yeah, we as normal people didn't know it was coming. As someone who as prominent in the scene as Braun Strowman is, you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, and he could have like reached out and kind of been a helping hand rather than shit on everyone who's basically trying to get to where he is.
Absolutely. Conrad, you got anything to add? Or are you just as average as we are?
I think it's absolutely ridiculous the fact that he didn't extend, like, there's one thing writing out, but then actually like allowing it to go into the public domain where everybody can see it, and like the fact that he tried to backtrack, and when he was questioned about it and he said, oh, but I'm an independent contractor, and so when there's no work coming in, then I don't get paid. But then the thing is, though, it's common knowledge at the minute that it's been common knowledge for a while that WWE talent, even though they are listed as indie contractors, then they do get the downside. And I think I read through, I think it's Forbes, and he gets a $1.2 million downside every year.
Yeah.
So like,
even if he doesn't wrestle at all.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Like how, like I get the fact that he didn't have to go for the indies because he came from obviously powerlifting, and he kind of like walked straight through the door at Performance Center, and then there he is and practically the top. But he's become such an ambassador for wrestling, as obviously being part of the world's biggest company, and the fact that he's worked so hard to get himself where he is and get himself really over, and then he just goes and says this. Like, I don't think they'll be able to push him as much, because there will always be that, like, there was that small portion of the audience that will always bring that up, and like, I remember when everybody needed him the most, he was an absolute dick. So like, I can't see it. I can see this really having long-term ramifications for much.
I was going to say, is he now unpushable?
I think he was unpushable before he even opened his mouth on Instagram and Twitter. They wasted the opportunity with him anyway. He was obviously the monster among men, and then could never win the big one. Or when he did, he dropped the title almost instantly. So, it was a dickish thing to say. And I think sometimes, as fans, we put these talents on pedestals as if they're kind of like role models. And it's stuff like this that makes you realise they're just people, and a lot of them are idiots, just like normal people can be idiots. It's just that they've got a bigger voice in the community, and if everyone was like Rusev and used it to better the scene, then that'd be brilliant. But unfortunately, not everyone is like Rusev, and we sometimes get dickheads like this.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm not the biggest AEW mark, as Mags likes to say, but one thing I will say is, as people have, like, they've done a bit of, what's the word I'm looking for here? They figured out that apparently Jonathan Good, I wasn't John Moxley, of course, donated a sizable amount to Irish promotion Over the Top Wrestling to help.
Yeah, he was meant to debut, weren't he, at Scrappermania?
So, did it anonymously as well. You've got, I'm going to quote, doesn't say who it was who said this. Braun Strowman publicly calling out independent wrestlers and telling them not to be poor. Be a John Moxley, not a Braun Strowman. I think we can all say in general, let's all just try and be a bit nicer to each other right now, shall we? Because I've said many times, you get 75, 80 someone to walk around this theme park called life. We're running out of theme parks closed, guys. So let's try and, like, while we're waiting for the ride to reopen, as it were, shall we try and be nicer to each other? Conrad, do you have a second subject?
No, I think the one that I brought was like the only one that I could really think of that was new.
It's cool. Mag, we'll go to you for a second subject.
Just before that, I just want to touch on something that you were going on about then, about be a Rusev, not a Strowman. There's a referee who's an independent referee. He's called Ryan T. And he has volunteered all the bookings for the rest of 2020, his fee to be put towards paying the other talent. He says that he does this for fun, and the other talent do it for a living. And because of that, I think he's actually booked to record with AEW Dynamite tonight because of that. Mm-hmm. So his fee that he gets for that is going to be going towards the wrestlers as well. So, yeah, I just think he deserves a little bit of props.
Absolutely.
The other topic, again, it's kind of coronavirus related, but it could be a good thing, really. This year we saw the first ever two-day Wrestle Kingdom, and I think it went off absolutely swimmingly. We didn't have to put up with a kind of like an eight-hour show. We got like broke down into 2-3 to 4-hour shows, and coronavirus. And coronavirus has kind of like forced WWE's hand with WrestleMania, where we're going to get a two-day WrestleMania. And it's something that a large portion of the fan base has kind of been clamouring for WrestleMania to be broke down from a massive eight-hour show. I mean, you'll know yourself, Matt. How hard is it to get through that long of a show?
Well, it's speaking from experience here, it's tough at times. Sitting through Baron Corbin versus Kurt Angle was interesting, I'll put it that way. Triple H Batista was a drag. And the women's main event, whilst I enjoyed it, it was 12:30 by the time they had finished.
Exactly.
So I was kind of running on fumes. Not least because when we went back to the hotel room before we went to MetLife, Graham was snoring. Yes, Bagshaw, you were snoring.
Well, the coronavirus has kind of forced WWE's hand, and we're now going to get that. We're going to get a two-day WrestleMania where we're going to get maybe a 3 to 4 hour show on each day. How do you guys feel that is going to work? And is it a concept that you'd like to see continue after this? Or do you think WWE are going to be doing this as a one-shot because of the very, very unique situation that we're in? And then next year it'll be all hands on deck and WrestleMania 37 is going to be an 8, 10, 12-hour show.
Go on, I've thought of you.
I think it's a good thing. I think it's good for everybody. Well, obviously, the American fans haven't got it. And us as well, as British fans, like we have to often stay up past midnight. And if it's WrestleMania and it's an 8-hour show, you basically pull it in all-nighter, which is difficult at the best of times. But I think it's good for the talent as well, because you haven't got they haven't got to cram as much in. They haven't got to work to like as small of a window to get everything that they want into the match. I feel it lets the stories that they've built kind of play out better in the match. I think it's stopping the internet from complaining that Reigns is still getting the main event because they can't say that Drew didn't get it because I think he'll be main event in night one, which is good. And I feel if they were to keep it end of March and start of April, I think they could have that sort of like the drawing power like Wrestle Kingdom did. And I know they drew a higher attendance for night one because it was January 4th and they have that draw power. If they were to have like night one of WrestleMania as like a really big extravaganza and then like night two is like still fairly big, but then you've got like your other matches, like a couple of like undercard matches, like just multi-man, so everybody gets a chance to be on the show.
Something I was thinking today at work.
I think it's a really good thing overall.
I was thinking about it while I was at work earlier, because let's face it, I had plenty of time today. What I was thinking about is like it's two nights of WrestleMania this year. They're probably going to split it into 3 to 4 hours each, which is very, very manageable, obviously. But then it hit me, as it often does. The Royal Rumble winner is to main event WrestleMania. Two Royal Rumbles, two main events. The Royal Rumble winner can one on each night. Beth, in theory, that can be done that way. Although I am inclined to think they probably will go with Goldberg Reigns to headline night one. Going forward in the future, though, they could definitely do that as a potential possibility, I think, because that way. It's still a main event, isn't it?
Yeah. What would you do with NXT, though? Because WrestleMania, as a weekend almost, you've got like the Hall of Fame, then you have NXT, then you have WrestleMania, then you have the Raw, and then obviously you have the SmackDown, which is like five shows over like a five-day period. What would you do with NXT if you're going to be splitting WrestleMania over 2 days?
Well, last year when I was there, of course, TakeOver was on the Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And TakeOver on a Friday, I don't think anyone had a problem with that. It worked quite well. I would personally move the Hall of Fame to a Thursday.
I'd move the Hall of Fame to SummerSlam.
That would, to be fair, they'd probably be doing the same thing this year anyway. That would work perfectly as well.
Yeah, the reason why I say that is because they're trying to make SummerSlam like as if it's the WrestleMania of the summer. It's always the biggest party of the summer. And I think having like almost a SummerSlam weekend, kind of like WrestleMania weekend, would work really well.
Correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't the Hall of Fame originally part of SummerSlam?
and I think it's always been Mania since biggest show of the year. So
yeah.
No, I know when they relaunched it in 2004, but I believe Andre the Giant was inducted before SummerSlam when the year he passed away. It's the first ever, if I'm mistaken.
You may be right on that. I couldn't say with certainty, so I'll go with your wisdom on that.
Because I like the idea of it sticking with SummerSlam, definitely. Oh, one of Survivor Series, if not SummerSlam.
Yes.
It would certainly be it's certainly with a big event like that you could do it.
Yeah.
Definitely. And you know, SummerSlam has such a big thing for us Brits, of course, because SummerSlam, the best SummerSlam was in 1992. I think even Americans agree it was massively huge, even though it wasn't in their country. But one thing we've also learned from the things in Saudi is that pay-per-views do work in other countries. Especially now with network, you watch it when you want to, basically. WrestleMania could easily work at Wembley Stadium in a couple of years' time. WrestleMania 40, Wembley, why not? And don't think we're all dead. So if not Wembley, where would you host it?
If we were to have it in England, it probably would be Wembley, but
WrestleMania 40 in general, where would you have it in the world? See, Madison Square Garden,
I think it's too small for a WrestleMania.
They held 1, 10 and 20 there. I always thought they'd hold 30 there, but they didn't. They held it in New Orleans. So, you know, it would have been nice if they kept the tradition of every 10 years back there, but...
Yeah. I'd like to see a proper foreign WrestleMania, like where they go to, like, a big stadium, like, maybe somewhere in Europe, maybe, like, the Camp Nou. Maybe something like that.
Yes, yeah, a new camp, that's a good idea. Germany, of course, they've got the Olympic Stadium, of course, in Munich. They could definitely host it there. Dare I say it, the Tokyo Dome?
Oh, Budokan Hall. Kurikan Hall.
I'd say the Cebu Dome. Not as big as the Dome, because I don't think if they were to get a foot in Japan, I think they wouldn't be able to sell out the Tokyo Dome. But if they were to place the advantage of like the baseball stadiums that they have over there, then I think it'd be good. I think if there's to do one over here, then use the Olympic Village and have it built around there rather than Wembley. Maybe like move it to later on in the year when Premier League season is finished, or move it to move Rumble to later in the year, and then so I know they've got like a 2-week break or something now, I think, of Premier League, where it's just nothing happens, so they could run it there
or at Turf Moor.
You would say Turf Moor, you in bloody Burnley. That's like Conrad wanting at St Andrews or Villa Park. It ain't gonna happen.
No, something like Old Trafford or
God no.
Well, it's a massive, massive stadium, though. Or the City of Manchester Stadium. Or even Cardiff.
Cardiff? Main stadium. But yeah. Hey, guys. We can pick that all we want. Vince is going to probably host it in Hawaii, knowing him.
You know it's going to be... He's going to have a WrestleMania in Jeddah or... Riddah, whatever it's called, Riyadh.
Riyadh, yeah.
You know it's happening. He's going to have his big shows or he's going to be in Qatar, something like that.
Before we get to my question more than a subject, really, do you think that, looking back now, because this is the time to talk about things, there's not a great deal of anything to look about, but discussion point, from where they started with the Greatest Royal Rumble, to where things are now, have things progressed with Saudi Arabia for the better or for the worse?
In terms of political,
I know in general laws have been changed for the better, but and obviously we've had females on the card, and you know even the male wrestlers were covering up their tattoos. So that was, you know, respecting of that. But in general, is anyone happy with Saudi Arabia yet or not?
Well, they did chop up a person in the Turkish embassy. And like shipped him out in suitcases.
Like a bad James Bond film, doesn't it?
And if I remember rightly, not long ago, some of the members of the royal family were actually arrested, and there's not been a word heard from them since because they were apparently planning a coup on Mohammed bin Salman, whatever his name is. So I think whilst they have made strides in terms of like we've watched female wrestling there, which is something that we would never have hoped to have seen, I don't think the changes are that widespread yet. I think it's still a very, very, very closed system over there. And as much as WWE can kind of act like they're over there to kind of promote this change in like mentality, we all know they're over there because they're getting $30 million for every show that they do. So whilst there has been little changes, they have been incredibly little, and I don't think that it's been worth the backlash that WWE have got.
Fair enough, Max. Comrade, anything to add?
I think it's more bad than good. Because I think the good thing is, obviously, they're allowing women to wrestle on the show. I know when they first went over there and they played, when they had that stupid Best of Both Worlds advert playing through every single show without fail, I know that they had to apologise because they were like, it was the female talent in like their normal gear. And like the Saudis, at the time, they thought it was disgusting. And I know Vince had to apologise, but then obviously the controversy with the flight back in for Crown Jewel last year, I feel they're not progressing enough to make it worth WWE's while. I read Cultaholic, I think, reported that the WWE network soon won't be available in Saudi Arabia. Vince apparently wasn't paid for one of the shows that he did in Saudi Arabia, so there's still a bit of tension there. And
yeah, it was that Crown Jewel one. They were saying that the playing problems that the wrestlers were having was because Vince apparently walked up to one of the prince's aides and had a straight-up fist fight with him. Whether it's true or not, you can tell that there is some sort of kind of...
thing Vince would do.
Yeah, there's some truth behind it. But what surprised me more about that was the fact that a few weeks later, Vince doubled down and said he's doubling the amount of shows that he's doing in Saudi Arabia. So whether they wired him his money and he was all happy and ready to kind of double the contract. But yeah, it's not working for me. I've not seen one of the Saudi shows at all because they don't interest me and I don't kind of like agree with their regime. But yeah, there's just, it's not the kind of change in mindset that the WWE kind of portrayed it to be for me.
Yeah, as everyone knows, I'm not a big fan of the Saudi shows. I rarely do a Matt Attack for them. Wasn't going to do one for Super Showdown. Me and Kai weren't going to do it, but that's actually what spawned this show. You know, just talking about stuff rather than predicting stuff, and Conrad expanded on the idea, and here we are now. So, inadvertently, thank you, Vince. So, the last thing we're going to talk about on the show is AJ Styles on Raw this week.
Didn't watch it.
No, so I will not spoil. So, it's a spoiler, I suppose, but...
Spoiler away, I'm not going to watch it.
AJ Styles challenge The Undertaker to a Boneyard match.
I've heard of this, yes.
Now, the question I have is, what the fuck's a Boneyard match? Conrad, you got no ideas?
That was, I think that was my reaction straight away. Well, like, the first thing that came to my head when I heard it was that gif from Brooklyn Nine-Nine where Captain Holt is just in the door and he just screams the word bone. And I had a little laugh this morning, but I'm assuming it's a casket match because the way AJ's been, I haven't actually watched Raw, but I've seen like the little YouTube clips, and he said he wants to put the like stuff about burying the Undertaker. So he's either going to be buried alive or casket.
And from what I've seen of it as well, it's not the Undertaker as in like the Phenom. It's been Undertaker with a beanie hat, and is it going to be the return of the Barker Undertaker, American Badass Undertaker?
I mean, that's like one way to get AJ over, I guess. Like he, and then like you can, so AJ can say he buried the Undertaker as the American Badass, and then as long as Taker wants to do it, because let's face it, as long as he wants to do it, Vince isn't going to say no to him. I think if he was to do the American Badass, then AJ wins, and then Taker comes back, and he's like, and kind of like, ha ha, you didn't beat me as the Phenom Undertaker, so I can still technically show up.
Well, again, a lot of people have been saying that he wants an old Undertaker. That is an old Undertaker, definitely. The only thing I can find out about a Boneyard match, because I did try Googling it using that great source that is Wikipedia, when I clicked on the link and everything, it linked me to a Buried Alive match.
It's probably going to be that, isn't it?
Which, to be fair, plays into the fact that Taker's in the twilight of his career, so can't move as much as he used to, and so I don't think we're going to see any dives over the top rope. More to pity, because I never got to see that live. So saw Taker once live ever, never got to see him dive over the top rope because Big Show knocked him out. So, but a Boneyard match, at least it sounds different.
I think it's more PG, keeping it PG, because they can't really say Buried Alive, because the kids would be like, oh my god, what's that?
So, I guess so.
They'll probably just have some polystyrene bones around, and then it'd be just a normal Buried Alive match.
They're going to go to the little prop box that they got at the performance centre that they use for the new trainees to get a good on acting.
Yeah, exactly. I've got another quick topic that I'd like to get your guys' thoughts on. Yeah. It was announced, I don't know if it was yesterday or if it was early this morning, but the WWE Network, it's going to be free for everybody. And a lot of the content that people who pay $9.99 for is going to be available for free. First of all, what are your thoughts on that, especially considering the circumstances that we as wrestling fans are in now, and also does this lead to a tiered system where we pay more for more content?
What I saw about it, it's limited stuff that will be free to air, as it were, not including Mania, unless you are taking out the network for the first time, obviously. So a lot of things will be available, but not everything will be available. Like you say, Mag, so two-tiered thing? No, because they say it's only a limited time whilst this outbreak is happening. So
I've read the press conference they put out on Twitter, and then I've seen a few other people and their kind of take on it, and it seems like that they're getting pretty much everything. Like most pay-per-views will be, that have been on, will be available. Up to date Raws are gonna, and SmackDowns are gonna be available. So yeah, it just seems weird. It's kind of like a bit of a kick in the teeth for everyone who's been paying $9.99 for a long, long time. But then on the flip side, we are in a time where people do need entertaining whilst they're on isolation. So it does make sense that way.
Out of curiosity, do you both pay for the network?
Yeah.
I signed up again today. So I genuinely didn't know what to watch. I was like, oh, screw it, I'm going to get my 3 months.
Attaboy. Attaboy, can I get your freebie in? Why not? Get your freebie, definitely. And would you feel better? So, yeah, it's not a bad thing to get, to be fair. Some people, it's a good in. Definitely, if you want like a taste of a full package, as it were, if it is going to be a tiered thing, I don't think it will be. I think once America comes out of lockdown, as it were, it won't be anymore. Well, phase it back out, sort of thing.
Yeah, I've got the press conference, the press release up here, and there doesn't seem to be.
The library is open.
No, it's just there doesn't seem to be any kind of like time frame on it. It doesn't say for like a limited time. The only thing that they've said is that they weren't going to show this year's WrestleMania, but then they've added by saying that that will only be available to actual subscribers. So yeah, it's weird. I think they are going to go to a tiered system. I think we're going to see like as a free. Like almost like a Spotify kind of way of approaching it. They're going to be a free one where you'll get like basics, and then you'll get like a $9.99 one, and then maybe like a £20/$1 one where you get all the bells and whistles. It'll just be interesting to see what you get for that money, because we're in an era where everything is $10 or less. I mean, Netflix is what, £8?
Yeah.
Spotify's like about a tenner for a month. So it'll be interesting to see what you get. I think even Disney Plus is going to be like £7. So it'll be interesting to see what you actually get for that money.
I can honestly say I don't know, but I paid a year up front for Disney Plus on that one. But I agree, $5.99, you get Powerland 4, get your first month free, good cop, back up.
Badlands or Mags.
Or Bags,
yeah. That's a harkening back to an old name.
That is a little bit, yeah. But I'm saying so much you can get for free or for low cost. I mean, I don't know. See, we're mentioning all the networks, why not? How much is New Japan World?
It works out to about £8, I think.
Yeah, I think it does depend on the exchange. I think last month I paid about £7.50. Yeah, about £7-8.
Fair enough. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff you can listen to and watch, obviously, which is always good. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about that, really. It's interesting if it is temporary, if it's not. Would you be happy with it being tiered, Mags, or not? You haven't answered that one yourself yet.
It would all depend on what is available on what tier. Now, this free tier, it looks like that all the pay-per-views are going to be available apart from this upcoming WrestleMania. Now, if it meant that all pay-per-views weren't available for like a set time, maybe like a year or so, then... Yeah, I'd be happy paying the $9.99. I just don't see what the benefit of me paying $9.99 is if you're going to get everything free. They'd have to give something significantly worth it. And then if they do go up to a $20 one, what are you actually going to get on that? Are you going to be getting like Raw and SmackDown Live on there?
If they did Raw and SmackDown Live on there, then that would be a massive incentive for certain. But I also think that Fox and USA might have something to say about it.
And BT Sports.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see what they can give for that money. As of right now, I'm perfectly fine paying $9.99. It really doesn't bother me.
$9.99, that's for certain.
Yeah. And even if you don't watch the current product, the amount of old stuff, I mean, it's been a wealth of... research information for me on Badlands, that's for sure. And then the one thing that WWE excel in is the documentary side. I mean, the 24s, the table for threes, they're worth the money alone.
The documentary about Evolution was fascinating. I talked about last week.
WWE, it's absolutely amazing. How can you not like Camp WWE? It's so good.
I enjoy it because it's so bad, and I love that sort of thing. Vince wrote the whole of that fucking script, you can tell. Yeah, but at the same time, you're like, it's charming in a sort of way. It's sort of. Train of thought's gone there. Yeah, have you seen the Evolution in a documentary, Conrad?
I think I might have watched a little bit of it. I'll probably watch it on the network tonight.
I do implore you to check it out if you can, because I thought I knew all about what happened regarding Evolution. I didn't know some of it, and it was an eye-opener. It was an eye-opener for certain. You see things in a different light. When you see that, and then you look back at some of the stuff that was happening on telly, you're like, huh. Couldn't tell. That's how good showmen they are. Right. Is there anything else we want to discuss, gentlemen?
Yeah. Or, another one's actually just, there's me really dragging this episode out. But have you guys seen the Chris Benoit Dark Side of the Ring documentary?
It keeps being recommended to me on my YouTube.
Yeah, I watched it. I mean, I've read a book about the whole incident, about Chris Benoit's life, called Ring. Pardon?
You can read.
How dare you? How dare you? It's called Ring of Hell. It was actually meant to be a guy just following the WWE round and kind of seeing what the inner workings of it was. But it led to, obviously, Chris Benoit and the incident. And he kind of changed it up to focus on Benoit. And, yeah, it was an interesting documentary. And a lot of people sympathetic to Chris Benoit. In that, I mean, we had Chris Jericho, his opening statement was, if you don't like what I'm going to say, you can piss off, because I knew the man, and I knew that wasn't who the man was at the end. And then you had, like, Vicky Guerrero, Chavo Guerrero, a lot of, like, really high-profile wrestling personalities kind of showing a side of Chris Benoit that you don't see, very often, especially in the wrestling circles, he's seen as this, like, demon who we can't speak about. His name's never mentioned on the network. And if you can't compartmentalise his wrestling work from what happened, he was probably one of the best wrestlers to ever enter the ring. He was just so, so talented. He's just he did a monstrous thing at the end of his life. Have you guys seen that, and what did you... what do you think of the whole situation?
Do you want to go first, Comrade?
I'll be honest, I haven't watched it all the way through. I watched the trailer and it keeps coming up on my Facebook. And it was like, oh, it's really good, really good. I kind of feel guilty if you're not watching it. I'll probably watch it like tomorrow or something, because I'm off college anyway. So I've got plenty of time. But I think I did enjoy the Dark Side of the Ring. It was just this. It kind of seems like a bit of a different animal to what was covered in the first season. They definitely started off with something really big.
Yeah, like almost a publicity grab.
Mm. See, now, as someone who, in the day, was a massive Benoit mark, obviously I was devastated when the Monday Night Raw happened and they gave a whole night tribute to Benoit. It's not available on the network. You can't. There's nothing been put in its place. It's just an empty slot for Raws, and understandably so. However, what happened was terrible. Obviously, I'm reminded of something Paul Heyman said on Inside the Ropes, the live show. I believe it was. I think you guys must have seen the incident question. For those who haven't, people shouting, someone was shouting out "my boy" every time Benoit was mentioned by Paul Heyman. To which Paul Heyman said, and I'm quoting, "Three people died in that house that night. Only one of them had the choice behind it, whether it was CTE or not." And I'm an atheist, that Benoit hadn't done that. But unfortunately, the facts are the facts, be it CTE or whatever, he still made the choice to do it at night. And that's, you know, it's heavy stuff. Yeah. It's heavy stuff, obviously. And if his son goes into wrestling, as I mentioned, Good Cop, Bad Cop, end of last year, that's going to be very heavy as well, because it's going to follow him around. Inevitably, it will.
Yeah, well, he was in the documentary, and you could see how he was conflicted about the person he knew as his dad, and then this monstrous killer. And another person who was in the show was actually Nancy's sister, and again, she was incredibly sympathetic towards Chris. She just didn't recognize this person who did this terrible thing as the person who she knew on a daily basis. She speaks of a time where Chris basically saved Nancy's life when she was getting abused by Kevin Sullivan. And she kind of says that she can't come to terms with the fact that that person who was like so instrumental in protecting Nancy could also do what he did.
It's very, very heavy stuff, which unfortunately, due to the amount of time we have now to actually look through stuff like that, it will probably get watched at some point. So I dare say me and Conrad will finish it at some point and it'll compare notes, as it were.
It's actually a part one. I think the second part is out sometime next week. But it'll be interesting to hear your thoughts on after you've watched it, and whether it kind of changes your viewpoint on him as a person, and whether you can still compartmentalize his work from him as a human.
As I've said before, Good Cop, Bad Cop, I've tried to, and it's try to keep one side from another. It doesn't work. It just keeps coming back to it every time. And one of the best wrestlers I've ever, and I have seen him live in person, one of the best I've ever seen. And it's something I can't shift now.
Yeah, I can understand that.
But, you know, unfortunately, that's a heavy subject. And sometimes we go heavy on this one. We can be lighthearted, obviously. And hopefully, when we come back in our next episode, it will be a bit more lighthearted one way or another. Let's face it, Mag, that's your job, okay? Lighthearted subject. Okay? I'm delegating that to you. Okay?
I can't promise that.
As a guarantee from Mag, and if he fails to do that, he will do 100 backflips on camera. So
I can't do one backflip.
That's a guarantee. The guarantee. Me and Conrad will make sure it's done. Right, okay. So, as I've now put a smile on our faces, me saying that, Conrad, your Twitter, please.
It is at El Compacto Newt, I think. She's really new at this point. It's at El Compacto Newt.
Okay, always a good time. Mags, your Twitter, the.
You can follow me at the Matt Attack UK or at Good Cop Wrestle. No, I'm only joking. You can follow me at DAJ Kurtbear. I have a podcast called Badlands, which I share with Mr. Paul Tolley, who's at Reencounter. Unfortunately, you're not going to hear his voice on the show for a while because he's been hit hard with coronavirus. He's a single parent and his daughter is now being homeschooled and he's also having to work from home, so he's struggling for time. I'm going solo on that show for the foreseeable future. I also have Why We Watch, which is on this network, Visionaries Wrestling Network, but is also now going to be airing on Smart to Death Radio, which I'm really, really excited about. In fact, all my podcasts are actually going to be on that network, which is, it's going to be a fun, interesting time. I also have a podcast about UFC, which has been attacked by coronavirus as well, because there's no UFC shows, but I do that show with my son, Carlos. That's a fun time. And then, obviously, now I have this project, so yeah, it's Mags All Pods from now on.
This fiasco, definitely.
I don't think it's a fiasco. I think it's an interesting little rant about the world of farting in your underpants.
Yeah, well, obviously true. And let's face it, right now, we all need a bit of a smile on our face. And ranting is something which is healthy. Mm-hmm. And this is a safe place to do so. And we may as well try and get some listeners out of it. You can obviously find me at the Mad Attack UK. And you can find all of my shows through that. Thank you again to the Visionary Wrestling Network for letting me be a part of this. On behalf of myself, Mags, and Conrad, stay safe out there, be nice to each other, and join us next time for when we talk at the table. We're out of here.
Wash your hands.
This is a Mat Attack production for the Visionaries Wrestling Network.